think everybody knows Brother Sean. He's the director of Sars Lake Christian Camp, and he's taking Robert's place this morning. And he told us about what was going on at the camp this morning, and he's doing a great job. And we're proud that that he's able to do what he does. And he has big plans for the camp, and we need to help him in every way that we can. And our congregation has supported that effort, and we're going to continue to support it. So we just thank him for what he does, and we're happy to have him here this morning.
Say thank you to Brother Travis. Can y'all hear me this morning? Say thank you, Brother Travis, for those kind words. I appreciate that. I'm going to be working this morning with Brother Robert's technology, and so bear with me. I'm gonna see here. I've got to straighten the screen up just a hair where I can see what you're looking at. I did give a little brief go-on this morning about what we're doing at camp and how things are going. We had over 1,000 kids this year at camp, or right at 1,000, I'm sorry, kids at camp, which is up from about 680 when I first started four seasons ago. This coming up year will be our 53rd year of camp. So, long-standing thing, and it's growing rather than shrinking, which is good. I will say thank you for having me here this morning. I speak at about 35 congregations a year. And so when you're the visiting preacher, I don't know if you as the elders in the congregation know this, but when a preacher gives up his pulpit to another visiting preacher, it's a great thing, because on Sunday morning, I can cause a lot of confusion, and I get to walk right out those doors and never hear it again. And so I appreciate Brother Robert letting me come speak to you, because it is a big deal. He's in charge of making sure you're learning and preaching, your worship's going. You know, that's a great responsibility. And, you know, the overseers here also have that. They place some trust in him, and he placed that trust in me. And it's not something I take lightly. And so with that, I like to be able to, you know, stand up and say a few things about camp, but also enjoy our worship service. Brother Robert had told me, and I think I'm maybe back tomorrow night, I hope. You've got Alan Underwood coming. Alan helps us out at camp, and I love Alan to death. Good guy. Look forward to it. I'm hoping maybe I can get over here. My wife and 2.5-year-old, y'all know, we have her dad, her grandmother, and her grandfather that we take care of, as well as a 2.5-year-old. So they couldn't make it this morning because my wife was up. We were at 6:30 cooking meatloaf because we got to go feed them after church. So she has to get the meatloaf over there and get them ready, get them cooking before she can go to service at Batesville. So that's why she's not with me this morning, but hoping maybe Monday night she can come. If you will, we're going to put out in Mark chapter 5 this morning. My lesson this morning is on faith. I think it's something we all struggle with. I may be back and forth. Is that good? Can y'all hear me? Okay, it sounded different up here. So Mark chapter 5. I think you can see that. We're going to put out here, and got to look and see where I was at on that. I'm sorry this morning, and I'm different from where I was on my page. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered under many physicians, and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in body, and she was healed of her disease. I was reading this verse the other day in my studies, and three things kind of really stood out for me on that. If you look there in verse 26, it's an anomaly to me the Bible can just run over something and say something, and we read past it sometimes. Are y'all guilty of that? You just read it, and you don't really realize the forefoot of that. You know, you're like, wow, okay, you just said that, but, you know, until you go back and read it, I find something new every time. I italicized in that verse there the points I want to make this morning as we're talking about faith. But it says there in verse 26, she had suffered many things from many physicians. Suffered many things from many physicians. You know what that is in layman's terms, don't you? Those are called quacks. But it's unique there because this woman was suffering. She had been going through this for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. I did some looking up. I don't know. I've suffered a few years, and I know we all have suffered. I took a miracle drug one time. I broke a tailbone. And I took a miracle drug one time. It was called Biox. It's supposed to be an anti-inflammatory. When you break a tailbone and you're a cowboy for a living, let me just tell you, your life gets rough. I had fallen in a barn and broke my tailbone, and I was having to ride a horse 10 hours a day. So they put me on Biox. And I subsequently, after two doses of it, spent a week in the hospital with internal bleeding. I later read that little thing that talks about the side effects. Now, y'all read the side effects, right? When I read Biox, it says it caused all these side effects, and none of them I really wanted. But the last two were the ones that got me the most. May cause internal bleeding and death. Now, who would rather be sick? Who would rather be sick? they pulled that one off the market, if y'all remember. I don't know if you know that drug or not, but it was an anti-inflammatory that was really, 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 really good for a long time, but it killed a few people. And so I read this, and I read that she had suffered for many years, and she had suffered under the hands of many physicians. And I looked something up right quick. I was wanting to go, I wonder when the first medical malpractice suit came about. It was in 1374. There's been quacks that long. All the way back to 1754 B.C., which is before Christ, under Hammurabi's code. You've all heard the Hippocratic Oath. Well, before that, that didn't come around until the 5th century B.C. was the Hippocratic Oath. But prior to that was Hammurabi's code, which meant do no harm. So this lady had suffered and suffered and suffered. So the next thing I look at there, that she had suffered under the hands of many physicians, she had spent all she had and was no better. Well, in today's terms, we call that bankrupt. But she had spent all she had and she was no better. Now you're starting to see the desperation. Am I painting the picture of the desperation here? She had suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. Had all these people do it, and we have all looked at old medicine doing no matter what, you know, leeching, so on and so forth. But she had spent all she had. Now, this particular time is not much different from today. What do you do when you spend all she had? She was homeless. She was destitute. She was living on the streets, I'm sure. Had nowhere to go, nothing to do, and she's still sick. But the next verse, the next words there really strike home. She was no better, but rather grew worse. So this morning, when we're talking about faith, let me ask you this. What hope did she have? What faith did she have? What type of faith did she have? Let's look at her picture, because that's just a real short little sentence in the Bible there, but to me it speaks volumes and volumes and volumes. She had suffered under all these people doing no matter what. She spent all the money she had, nowhere to go, nothing to do. And not only had she not gotten better, she had gotten worse. But look what happens in verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. It's amazing to me this woman had any hope. It's amazing she had anything, but not only did she have hope, she had faith. Because verse 27 shows her faith. She said, I just need to do this. Now you go on and read the verse, you read after that, he goes, who touched me? And of course all the disciples are kind of like, what do you mean who touched you? We're in the middle of, he's in a crowd of people. It's like, no, I felt something come out of me. I know something's going on. He knew her faith. He felt her faith. Christ felt her faith. We don't have that ability, but he did. But we read about that, and it's just amazing to me the faith this woman had. Now I'm gonna go to the next slide here. The three things I was looking at this morning. If we get anything, what my goal this morning is, the points from today's lesson is, it's how to build our own faith, how to decrease our doubt, and how to help others increase their faith. And as Christians, I think this is an important thing. I think sometimes our faith suffers with something we don't talk about as much. We just kind of assured of our faith, but how do we practice it? So, if you will, and I'll say this, and another story, side story here, but when I preach a sermon, I load my sermon up. So just get your Bibles out and get ready to follow me, because I'm going to use verses. We're going to look at a few verses and extract some things from them. But I don't think I can say it any better than the Bible. We had in Modesto, California, we had a man who had memorized books of the Bible. I'm going to tell you this story. And we were sitting there one morning, and he was preaching. And he literally got up and quoted the entire book of James. And there was a lady that didn't come to church very often, but she sat near me and my wife, and we always kind of greeted her and talked to her, but she didn't come. She was just in and out a lot. And she goes, "Well, that's one of the best sermons I've ever heard." Yeah, because I can't say it any better than what God did. But this man had to stand up there and quote the entire book of James, and that was the best sermon. So I like to have a lot of scripture in mind. So if you will, we're looking at Hebrews. Where does faith come from? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Let that one sink in for a minute, because it takes a second to wrap your brain around that one. So that what is seen is made out of things that you can't see. That's what faith is. And where does it come from? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God, or the word of Christ, in the ESV version. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We live in a time now where people want to feel faith and feel faith. Who remembers Jimmy Swaggart? I know some of you. Now we have modern day Joel Osteen, where faith is what? Write me a check. Just read an article the other day where Benny Hinn had to repent of the prosperity gospel. If any of you are familiar with the prosperity gospel, it's you give and give and give and give and give and give and give, and the more you give, well, God will give it back to you. Tenfold. So if you write a $100 check, you'll get $1,000 back. If you write a $10,000 check, you'll get $1 million back. That's the prosperity gospel. And it's all based in their faith. It's also based in the fact that they say we've seen them all come and knock somebody down, and that's the healing. They can heal. That's the faith. If you didn't get healed, you didn't have enough faith. Faith doesn't come from writing checks. A lot of this now, faith will be, they'll talk about the wealthy people have faith. If you're a wealthy individual and you go to church, that's your faith that has made you wealthy. Faith isn't gauged by how wealthy you are. It's not having success. Faith is hearing the word of God. It comes by hearing the word of God and receiving the word of God. Jesus, I say this, it's something I've said for years. Jesus is not a slot machine. We can't stick money in and pull the handle and expect to get all that back. But that seems to be our earthly mentality, is to gauge our success and our wealth and everything off of our faith. We're going to read a little bit more here where that comes. Another modern day thing we fight with faith is the power of positive thinking. How many of you have heard that? You can interact this morning. You can raise your hand. I'll allow. How many of you heard the power of positive thinking? I'm an interactive preacher, okay? I like to speak and be interactive. Power of positive thinking. There's a mentality today that if you just think positively, it'll all go away. If you just think a little bit. I remember well in the 80s and the 90s, there was this big movement, and you'd go into all these office buildings and stuff, and you would say, it would have a black frame around it. It would say, "Believe," and underneath it in small letters, "In yourself," or all these positive quotes and stuff. And I was down on the power of positive thinking, the power, but the power of positive thinking comes from where? The Bible. I believe, but not in myself. I have faith, but not in me. I hope in God. I believe in God. My faith is in God. And when you look at the power of positive thinking in that regard, it's a great thing. But when we just look at the power of positive thinking as I believe what I believe in what. So if we look at where does faith come from, next we're going to look at faith when things go wrong. Did that slide change? Okay, good. I can't see that from here, so I'm good. So if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 33. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I'm going to set the stage on this before. This is when Jesus is left in there in the Sea of Galilee. They went on, the disciples went on, and Jesus came walking across the water to them. Everybody remember that verse? We're going to read a key point here in it. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked out on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. I don't think he said it like that. Just for reference, I don't think he said it quite like that. I think it was a little louder and a little more screaming. But anyway, he said, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. I'm like Brother Tom, I'm suffering with the sinuses this morning, but excuse me. So, faith when things go wrong. So where does it come from? It comes by hearing the Word of God. So what happens when things go wrong? Do we quit hearing? In this verse, we look here, I look at Peter as this way. Peter was the friend that you didn't want to take anywhere. Okay? Peter was that one friend that you were afraid to take anywhere. If you go back and read about Peter, what kind of friend he was to Jesus, and as a disciple, what did he do? Let's go through and look at all his follies, right? He's walking across the water. He says, hey, man, it's you. If this really is you, because he knew who it was, you tell me to get out and walk across the water again. What did he do? Fell in the water. Okay? In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? Sliced off the centurion's ear. Okay? In the market, when Jesus was crucified, what did he do? Denied him three times, right? If you go through and read about Peter, he was that one friend you were afraid to take anywhere, but he was also just his faith and the way he stood up for his faith. It's a lesson for us. I'm not making fun of Peter because I'm probably not much better, but we look at Peter and we read about what he's doing, and this is when things go wrong. And I want to make two correlations right here as far as what this verse says and how this relates back to our faith. So he got out of the boat there in verse 30, and he was afraid. So what are some things that go wrong that make us afraid, that cast doubt on our faith, make our faith weak, right? And Jesus makes two correlations there. He says, one, it says there in verse 30, that Peter was afraid, but in verse 31, Jesus asked him, why did you doubt? I think doubt and fear are two of the biggest things to our faith, that when things go wrong, what's the first thing we do? Well, when that big bill comes, we're afraid we can't pay it. We doubt we can't pay it. And we don't have faith in God. When we get sick, what happens? We put our faith in a doctor first. When things go wrong, when we have fear, when we have doubt, do we immediately reach out to God and we immediately rely on our faith? Well, how do we stop doubt? How do we stop fear? And I equate this, because I don't want to say you can't have doubt. Best I ever heard was a preacher told me this one time. He said, doubt is like a bird. Now, can you stop a bird from sitting on your head? Yes, you can keep a bird from sitting on your head. You can knock it off your head. But can you stop a bird from flying over your head? No. Doubt's going to come. Doubt's going to come. It's going to always come. But you can keep it from building a nest on your head. And I would say this, tied it back to where does our faith come from? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and this is where I'm going to say, I say, not the Bible, I'm going to say doubt comes from speaking and speaking the things of the world. We allow ourselves to let the world in and not hear the words of God, if that's where our faith comes from. But tying this back to the lady, the woman with the disease in Mark, her faith, she just reached out when things were going wrong. She'd been at this for 12 years. Things were going wrong. She reached out to Christ. That was where she reached out to strengthen her faith. So as we look at where our faith comes from, faith when things go wrong, when we struggle with faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Christ helps with our faith when we are struggling. We have the Holy Spirit. Christ helps with our faith when we are struggling. How many of you have ever heard the saying, little faith is no faith? Sometimes your faith is big. Sometimes I think in my own world, I look at faith and I go, I didn't have enough faith. I think I have no faith. No faith is what? Not believing in God. But little faith is still faith, correct? It's just not as big. We have to build our faith. 2 Timothy there shows us that when we're struggling with our faith, God, when our faith is weak, God is still faithful to us. I look back and look back over the years. My wife and I have a wall in our house, and I'm gonna sound weird to you here for a minute, but we have a wall in our house, and it's called our cross wall. I did not say it was our crucifix wall; it's our cross wall. And on that wall, we years ago, I'm not exactly sure how I got started, but we always liked crosses and used it for decoration and so on and so forth. But they started taking on a meaning for us now. It became kind of like in the Old Testament when they would build a we'd take the rocks and stack them as a shrine, kind of became a thing for us that when things would go wrong in our life, any big major events, we would buy a cross. And that would be something we put on the wall. And so we go back and we look at that wall now, and it's kind of like our Ebenezer wall. We've raised these times of remembrances, and we can go back and look at that wall. So what looks like decoration is not really decoration. It's things that my wife and I look at a time when her mother passed away. We look at a time when my best friend's mother passed away. There's a cross there that we remember those times, and we remember those people, but we remember who got us through those times. And so that wall on the back of our house is not necessarily just decoration, but it's a time when we can look back on that wall. And for us, it's a time to remember what God's done for us. So that when we struggle with our faith, when we're going through something, we can walk into our living room and go, whatever we're going through right now, we know who's going to get us through it and who's going to get us past it. And so when we're struggling with our faith, we just remember that weak faith is not no faith. Faith when things are going good. This offers a time for faith to be unpracticed. Now, I'm preaching it myself here. I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching it myself because this is where I would come forward and repent. When things are going good, this is a time when faith can be unpracticed. But it's during these times in our lives when things are going the best that we can sit down and count our blessings. This allows us to see how God is moving in our lives and how he does love us. Times of rest, times of quiet, times when the storm has passed allows us to reflect on how God has been faithful to us. I'm always amazed, but when things are going good, who do we forget? Our faith sometimes is the least when things are going the best. Just like Peter, when we're sinking is when we scream out, God save me. But when things are going good, do we remember how they got there? So as an exercise today, remembering our three points, from this morning, how to increase our faith, how to cast doubt, and how to help others increase their faith. This is a good time to practice that when things are going good. When we're in that time of our life, and we all know that. We all know that there's times, there's seasons, and we all go through seasons. And when things are going good, we sometimes it's easy to forget God. It's easy to quit working as hard. It's our human nature. But I would challenge you this morning. This is a time to reflect on your faith and strengthen your faith. Remember, wow, things were bad. Now look how good they are. How did they get that way? And finally this morning, building our faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now again, I don't want to sound like the prosperity ministry here when I say that you're going to get the $1 million in the Learjet. I don't think Jesus cares whether I have $1 million or a Learjet. I don't think he cares the least in the world if I have either of those things. But how does he reward us? How are we rewarded? I think it's with those times of rest, those times of peace, those times when we can reflect back. I think that's what our faith is. When we go through hard times and we see bad things, or we have bad things happen to us or our family, that we still seek him. And I believe the reward is the peace we get. We read earlier that Peter had fear and doubt. Well, what's the opposite of fear and doubt? Peace and assurance, correct? And I think those are the rewards we get. We get peace and assurance when we seek God. As Hebrews said there, if you would draw near to God, you must believe that he exists, and he will reward those that seek him. The key in this text is the idea that we believe and exist or have faith, and then seek him. It's achieved through prayer, reading scripture, and actively performing his works. So finally this morning, I'll leave you with this, the 3 points we wanted to get to, correct? How do we build our faith in ourselves? How are we going to cast away doubt? But not letting that bird build a nest in our head, but knowing that it's going to fly over us from time to time. And finally, by helping others when we're in good times, and we've got our times, we've gone and passed through our storms, helping our fellow Christians pass through their storms. So this morning, that's your lesson. I'll leave you with it. But this morning, if you've been struggling with faith, if faith is just something that you're not sure about this morning, or for those of you who may not have faith in our Lord and know our Lord, we've all been there. Everybody in this room has been there. So nobody's going to judge you, but we'd like to help you this morning. And you can do that as you can come forward this morning as we stand and sing.
Careless soul.